Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, April 9th, and the Pistons are playing out the string. This is your boy, Matt Shook, an Associated Press writer in Chicago, covering the NBA, Pistons follower my whole life as well, and a sports newspaper reporter across the country for over a decade. Today, we're going to be recapping the up-and-down weekend, the win in overtime on Friday night against the Dallas Mavericks, and then the Sunday loss on the road to the Memphis Grizzlies. We're also going to be looking ahead to tonight's game, the swan song for Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit as the Pistons play the home finale against the Toronto Raptors as the Raptors get ready to take on the Eastern Conference in the playoffs, and the Pistons get ready to pack their bags and call it a season with just two games remaining. Also today, I'll have an interview with former Michigan Wolverine Caris LeVert, talk about year two for him in the Brooklyn Nets, and also about Michigan coach John Beilein and how he's kind of played himself into that, you know, top upper echelon of college basketball coaches. We'll talk about what makes him so special, and also when Caris thought that this year's Michigan team could make that run that they did end up making. But I want to tell you guys one more time about my guys from Ash Supply Company. I've been drinking their coffee every day for over a month now. The latest shipment that I got in April had a new one, beans from Papua New Guinea. It's not just a place on the map. It's a place that I get my coffee from. Ash Supply Company, a Detroit business that's growing in the heart of the city, is the coffee that is driving Detroit's renaissance. Not just coffee with these guys, it's a lifestyle. My guys, Mike and AJ, built this company from the ground up. Wayne State graduates. I've known these guys for a long time, and I've been giving their product as gifts to serious and satisfied coffee fans. And I got a little tip for you guys. For those of you who have a Keurig and says, oh no, I don't need that, think of all the waste that you're having. Get yourself a disposable container. They got them all over the place. Use the Ash coffee, and there you go. Better for the environment. Don't tell Mike and AJ that I said that, because they probably hate any mentions of Keurigs, but that's what my mom does, and you should follow her lead and do that too. These guys have two locations in Detroit that you should visit, and their coffee is available at retailers all over the Metro Detroit area, and also the Goddess and the Baker in downtown Chicago. But Locked On Pistons is giving you a great offer for coffee to come to you monthly. Visit ashsupplycompany.com, A-S-H-E, supply, C-O, .com, and use promo code LOCKED at checkout for 20% off one of Ash Supply Company's subscription plans. Make your choice between subscriptions. The Roaster's Choice Single Origin, featuring offerings from Latin America, East Africa, or the Pacific Islands. The Three Roast Sampler, 3 6-ounce samplers from different regions around the world, or the Drink Coffee Live Wild subscription, which features a Roaster's Choice 12-ounce bag along with a carefully curated coffee-inspired accessory, either a shirt, coffee-infused candle, or coffee-infused soap. These guys are supporting the podcast, so I hope that you would support them. Again, go to ashsupplycompany.com, A-S-H-E, supplyco.com. Support Locked On Pistons and use promo code LOCKED at checkout for 20% off one of Ash Supply Company's subscription plans. Ash Supply Company. Drink coffee, live wild. And the Pistons opened the weekend with a 113-106 overtime win on Friday at home against the Dallas Mavericks. Reggie Jackson had 24 points, including 12 in the fourth quarter and overtime combined. That's Reggie's time, as we know. We never really get to see Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson and how they could coexist in a tight fourth quarter. I guess that will have to wait until next season. Stay tuned for that one. Horrendous that this game even got to overtime. Absolutely just embarrassing for the Pistons in that regard, the roster that the Mavericks threw out there. Luke Kennard throws up a three-pointer with a little bit less than a minute left with 19 seconds on the shot clock when the team should have been running clock in that situation. And then the worst offense down the stretch, leaving Jonathan Motley wide open at the three-point line with his team up three with 10 seconds left. And obviously, he's not a three-point shooter. That was his first made three of his career, I believe, that Greg Kelser pointed out on the telecast. But to leave anybody wide open, especially a guy having a career game like he was at that point. And meanwhile, Reggie missed two shots at the last two possessions in regulation that would have won the game for the Pistons. A debacle that it went to overtime. And of course, if you're a Pistons fan, you couldn't feel good about that. Like I said, Motley, who's a G League guy, had 26 points and 12 rebounds. J.J. Barea, Dirk Nowitzki, Wes Matthews, all those guys didn't play, but the Pistons did get the win as Reggie Jackson kind of helped him out and made it happen in overtime to his credit. 19-16 for Andre Drummond, the big man. So going into Sunday's game against Memphis, the Pistons had actually won 8 of 10. And since Reggie had gotten back, they were 7-2, so had won 7-9 since he had gotten back from his 37-game absence with the injury. Now, some might be making a big deal about this, especially going into the Sunday game against the Grizzlies and then looking ahead to a possible win on Sunday and then looking ahead to Toronto, who we'll see what kind of team they field on Monday, and then Chicago on Wednesday. Really a chance to end with a nice little winning streak, even before the Memphis loss on Sunday. I'm not one of those people who's making a big deal about this. This schedule has been so easy, and they've not really been super impressive in hardly any of these wins, despite going up against teams that are at best at times indifferent to whether they're going to win or lose this game. And of course, then they go out and lose to Memphis on Sunday, a team that was basically playing for nothing, a team that's very bad right now, a G League type of team as well. We're going to be talking about that game in a little bit here and looking ahead to Monday night against the Toronto Raptors as well. But if your company is interested in reaching men 18 to 44, then sponsor Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. And especially talking to those companies who want to reach Detroit men, as we know that they like to support our regional causes as well. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me if you want to find out more at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com.
Yes, sir!
Later on in the show, I'll be sharing our interview with Caris LeVert of the Brooklyn Nets, a former Michigan player. We're going to torture Pistons fans a little bit as I also talk to Spencer Dinwiddie. I'll be running that interview probably next week. I got it in the can, as they say, so to speak. Some interesting things that he said about his time in Detroit, but today we'll be playing the Caris LeVert interview, a short interview. But the Pistons lost to the Memphis Grizzlies 130-117 on Sunday afternoon, despite a franchise record 23 three-pointers. If you listen to the podcast, you know my feelings about the increase in three-pointers in the NBA. I'm pretty over it. I think it's not the most exciting brand of basketball to see guys jack up threes. I know that it's the way forward in the league, and I know it's a necessary thing for teams to build upon with their rosters, but it's just not that much fun seeing guys throw threes up. The loss assured the fact that the Pistons will not be a 500 team this year. They're going to be under 500. As for Memphis, the team is virtually locked into that second spot in the lottery, so while some teams are out there desperate to lose in Tankathon, Memphis is kind of locked in there, so it wasn't like they were trying to lose like maybe they were throughout most of the second half of the season, but still for the Pistons, embarrassing to lose to the league's second worst team nonetheless. And the Pistons, by the way, for their efforts or lack thereof throughout the year, they are now locked into that 12th spot in the lottery with a 2.5% chance of getting a top three pick and a 0.7% chance of getting the top pick. So 97.5% chance of staying close to where they are or at number 12. And of course, at that point, the pick would be conveyed to the Los Angeles Clippers as part of the Blake Griffin trade. Anthony Tolliver, 19 points to lead the way for Detroit. His late season scoring binge continues. Henry Ellenson, a career-high 17 points in just 18 minutes off the bench. Interestingly enough, even that in those 18 minutes, he was still a minus 18 as plus-minus for the game. You know, I'm pretty amused that once again, here we are. Springtime has come, and now it's turning to Henry Ellenson time for the Pistons. In a sick way, I kind of hope this continues. Wait until you're mathematically eliminated and then just throw in your first-round pick from a few years ago. Just a joke that the way that Henry Ellenson's career has kind of unfolded, or really has not unfolded, in his time with Detroit. If you're looking for the two biggest black marks on SVG's report card with the Pistons as coach and front office, look no further than Henry Ellenson's career and also the misusage of Langston Galloway this year. After making him such a priority this summer in free agency, just two swings and misses for the Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons. And I guess you could throw Boban on that list too, with the amount of money that he got paid, and then turning into a sweetener in the deal for us in the Blake Griffin trade. We needed to get rid of him as Pistons fans. But I watched a lot of the defense in this one. I don't have NBA TV, and because the game was on NBA TV, it was blacked out on League Pass, so I was able to catch up with it later. And I had known the result, obviously, that the Pistons had lost and given up 130 points. And I heard Stan Van Gundy's comments ripping on the D, so I wanted to keep a close eye on the defense. And I usually make a list of who was responsible for every one of the opponents' made baskets, who was the biggest culprit negatively for the Pistons defensively there. And sometimes you got tough shots, and there's nothing you can do. You don't write anyone down. And to his credit, Marshawn Brooks had a lot of those. A strong game for him, 25 points in 26 minutes off the bench for the journeyman there. But the guys that are on this list are a lot of the ones that you would expect as far as Pistons bad defensive players. Henry Ellenson, Eric Moreland, Luke Kennard. I really do think Ellenson may have been better served this year playing more in Grand Rapids, or at least a little bit in Grand Rapids. I think he played one, maybe two games out there. There's no way that he's getting game speed practice of defensive awareness, doing whatever he did this year with the Pistons trainers, and you just need so much more from him. Eric Moreland, by the way, I don't think there'd be too many Pistons fans upset if these next couple games are the last ones in a Pistons uniform for him. Just some energy, especially at home early in the season while the Pistons were winning, but just really hasn't done anything since then. By the way, Landry Noko of the Grand Rapids Drive was named G League Defensive Player of the Year the other day, the center from Clemson, the Cameroonian. He was an affiliate player for the Pistons in Grand Rapids this year, in addition to Kentucky's Derek Willis, which means that he was, you know, basically property of the Pistons, but any NBA team can pick those guys up as free agents, but the fact that he was given a partially guaranteed contract by the Pistons in the offseason meant that the Pistons had first dibs on which G League team he would go to, and obviously they would send him to Grand Rapids. Perhaps Landry is a guy who will get a look from the Pistons or maybe some other NBA team going forward. I like to see it, especially in summer league and training camp, a guy to look out for this summer as the Pistons have some decisions to make. Some of those defensive miscues, Anthony Tolliver showed up on my list quite a bit. I think his defense has slipped throughout the second half of the year. I still don't think it's a slam dunk he comes back, especially when you have natural replacements for his minutes in John Luehr returning from injury and also maybe Ellenson getting those minutes as well. And I'm not saying that those guys are better, but those guys are on the roster and on the cap sheet already for next year, and you might use some of Anthony's salary slot to improve elsewhere, particularly at a wing position, especially when you have James Ennis, who's probably going to walk. You just need more guys in that list of wing players to join, you know, Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard and those guys. You need better athletes. You need better shooters. Just anything you can get from the small forward position and the wing position would be better served for the Pistons to look at that going forward. Now, the Toronto Raptors coming into town tonight, 7 o'clock. The Little Caesars Arena finale. The last time these two teams met, you remember that kind of classic. I'll give them the credit. A nice overtime game. The Pistons lost that one, of course, as they do. But DeMar DeRozan, remember, just drove through the heart of the Pistons' D for the dunk over Tolliver, who, to his credit, was trying to clean up a defensive mistake from Blake Griffin, among others, on that final possession. And then in the reverse of that, DeRozan takes it to the lane in overtime on the what ended up being the game-winning basket. Everyone collapses on him. He finds the open Fred VanVleet in the corner, knocks down the shot. Just a gross loss, but an overall a great game for both teams and a nice atmosphere that we had with a lot of Toronto fans in town. Blake Griffin was superb down the stretch in that one. Toronto coming in tonight on a back-to-back. They beat Orlando at home 112-101 on Sunday. DeRozan and Jonas Valanciunas didn't play. They were held out, not injured, but just resting as they're getting ready for the playoffs. Those guys have locked up the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, so nothing to play for them. You might expect other guys like maybe Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry to get the night off tonight, or maybe DeRozan and Valanciunas again. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. I don't know if those guys, what will be the case or not. Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet had minor injuries in Sunday's win, so you would expect that those guys maybe sit as well. Dwayne Casey did say that they will rest players tonight, but then bring the whole crew back for Wednesday's regular season finale and get back in the groove as the playoffs approach this weekend. Toronto, by the way, has won 5 straight against Detroit, so we will see if that continues. And another statistical anomaly to pass along, this one's from the Associated Press over the weekend. Andre Drummond needs 30 rebounds in the final two games for the Pistons, so 30 combined rebounds in those two games, to average 16 per game for the season, and he would be the first guy to do that since the Worm, Dennis Rodman, who did it 5 times, including a couple times for the Pistons. Before the Worm, the last guy to do that was Moses Malone in 1978-79. So not only another rebounding title for Andre Drummond, but maybe a little statistical, historical footnote for the big man too. So that would be a nice feat. And we'll see what Dre's minutes look like in these last two tonight against the Raptors at home and then Wednesday at the United Center in Chicago, a game that I will be at. But having an interview to share with you guys of Caris LeVert of the Brooklyn Nets that I did on Saturday night. But there's also a new coach in Detroit and a new podcast you should be listening to. Well, I guess an older podcast, but ones that you should be adding to your podcast list if you haven't already. Locked On Lions, Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. You know him. You can check that one out every day. And also we got podcasts for every NBA team, one for every NFL, and we're adding MLB podcasts as well. I'm sure we'll have some news soon about a Locked On Tigers podcast. The Locked On Network, your team every day. Got an interview here that I want to share with you with Caris LeVert. He's in year two out of the University of Michigan. And like I said, this is a little bit of torture for Pistons fans as he went two picks after Henry Ellenson in the 2016 NBA draft. LeVert went number 20 to the Brooklyn Nets. The Pistons picked up Ellenson, who's been a huge disappointment, at number 18. Right now, LeVert's getting 12 and 4 rebounds and 4 assists as well per game for the Nets, a step up from last year when he was getting about 8 and 2 a game, mostly off the bench this year. But he has been getting some minutes as Jeremy Lin went down, I believe, in the first game of the season and missed the rest of the year for them. And point guard D'Angelo Russell has been out for a lot of the season as well. So guys like Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie have been getting a lot of minutes for the Nets, a team that, you know, takes that three-point shooting to the extreme. Only Houston is shooting more from distance than the Brooklyn Nets. Kenny Atkinson is of that school of thought as well, so he's kind of leading them in that direction. I was at the game covering it for the AP on Saturday. The Bulls took on the Nets here in Chicago, and in that game, the Nets knocked down, I believe, 24 three-pointers, setting a franchise record just like the Pistons did on Sunday. But the Nets went over 1,000 made three-pointers for the season, so really kind of a glimpse at what it could look like. Quincy Acey was on fire. Alan Crabb had a big-time contribution as well. But like I said, I talked with Spencer Dinwiddie as well. I think I'm going to save that one for next week because we got a long summer, and we're probably going to have a whole episode dedicated to the Spencer Dinwiddie saga with the Pistons and what some of the interesting things that Spencer talked about in that one. But like I said, here's my interview with Caris LeVert from Saturday after the game here in Chicago.
Caris LeVert here. Talk about the strides you've made in a year or two here with Brooklyn.
I feel like, you know, I'm asked to play a couple positions, and I feel like, you know, that's boded well for me, especially to show my entire game and my versatility and things like that. So I think that's, you know, honestly, the guys getting hurt, that kind of, you know, helped me and Spencer's confidence, I feel like, and, you know, our in-game experience, because we got a lot of meaningful minutes in that time.
Your assist numbers have doubled this year. Is that, you mentioned playing some different positions, is that something you've emphasized?
Yeah, for sure. Just not only that, but taking care of the ball too, you know, trying to keep my turnovers down. That's definitely you know, one of the main things for me when I'm playing point guard, just taking care of the basketball, you know, not only getting an assist.
Are you one of the guys that keeps track of the guys in your draft class and maybe some teams that skipped out on you or players that went ahead of you in the league?
I wouldn't say that. I'm more of just a basketball head. I watch everybody. I don't really get into, you know, the teams that passed up on me per se, but I just watch a lot of basketball, so I just keep up with that stuff naturally.
Did you think that that this Michigan team had that run in them to get to the final game throughout the season?
When they started the season, no, to be honest with you. But I think halfway through the Big Ten season, I went and saw them play live, and I kind of knew they had something special. And they went on to win like 15 games straight and went to national championship. So I kind of saw it then. But when the season started, to be honest, which I didn't see it in them.
Do you think Coach Beilein is finally getting his due as one of the best, you know, handful of coaches in the league? And what is it that makes him so great of a coach?
He can adapt. You know, I feel like his offense is a lot different now than what it was when he was at West Virginia. It's kind of the same offense, but there's just so many different variations. And he kind of switches his game plan towards his players. You know, he's an old school coach, but he's very flexible. You don't see that a lot with old school coaches. And obviously he's very smart offensively. But I think this year the thing that set him apart was their defense, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And what is it like having Nick aboard as a former Michigan teammate here with the Nets?
It's cool, man. We're like brothers. We have been since we stepped on campus. You know, when was that, like 6-7 years ago? So it's always cool to have somebody that close to you on the team.
Thanks to Caris LeVert. Obviously, I was asking about Nick Stauskas there at the end. Nick, his teammate now in Brooklyn, finally getting some run, 4.8 points per game this year for Brooklyn in about 13 minutes of action per contest. He's finally hitting his shot, which Michigan fans know that's what his calling card is. He is hitting nearly 43% from three for Brooklyn this year, so he'll have a job in the NBA for a long time if he keeps that up. He had struggled big time in the early parts of his career from three in his one season in Sacramento and then 2 years in Philadelphia before being traded to Brooklyn early this season. But like I said, thanks again to Caris LeVert, a good guy, beloved by the Michigan fan base. I had Denzel Valentine on last week, so I figured I had to give the Michigan fans some love with Caris this week. But be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also at the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. You could probably figure out the handle for that, Locked On Pistons. But give a like to the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Schoch. Join the conversation there as well. And be sure to check out Ash Supply Company in downtown Detroit at one of their two locations, or visit their website, ashesupplyco.com. Order your monthly subscription of Detroit's Best Coffee. They're supporting the podcast, so it's our turn to support them. Use promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, at checkout when ordering a subscription online at Ash Supply Company, ASHESupplyCO.com, and you will get 20% off your purchase. Ash Supply Company, drink coffee, live wild. We'll be talking about Monday's game against the Toronto Raptors on tomorrow's podcast, and we'll be closing the books on the inaugural season at Little Caesars Arena as the Pistons play out the string. And thanks for listening, everyone, and all the support that you've been giving the podcast. And we will talk to you all again soon.